Welcome to the Frank Reactions podcast, where we discuss how you can get great reactions from your staff, your customers, prospects, and the public through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Temma Frank. If you've already heard my blurb about how we've been transitioning from Frank Online Marketing to Frank Reactions, feel free to just skip ahead to about the 2-minute mark. Otherwise, listen on. We've been transitioning gradually from the Frank Online Marketing Show to the Frank Reactions podcast over the last few weeks, but there's a fair amount of overlap because many of the companies that I interviewed on that show were being successful online because of how they were handling customer experience related issues. So I think there's a lot of insight there that listeners to this podcast can also benefit from. What I've decided to do is for the first few episodes, I'm actually going to replay some of the ones from Frank Online Marketing that really deal a fair bit with customer experience related issues. So if you are a longtime listener of the Frank Online Marketing Show and have already heard all those, I would suggest you just skip right ahead to episode 15, which is where we will have totally new, fresh content for you. If you're interested, particularly in the online marketing side of things, I'd also suggest that you go back to the Frank Online Marketing Show and check out those episodes because there's a lot of real value in those as well. So next up is today's interview, and I hope that I'll get some feedback from you about what you think. I'd really be grateful if you would do a review on iTunes. It would be really exciting if we could get listed in their new and noteworthy column. And it would also be gratifying for me just to know that you're out there listening and to hear some of what you have to say about the show, because I am always looking for ways to make it better. Here we go.
My name's Errol Banger, and I'm responsible for running the retail industry for IBM Smarter Commerce.
What is Smarter Commerce, IBM Smarter Commerce?
Smarter Commerce is IBM's response to serving today's increasingly demanding customers in a competitive marketplace. So if we take a step back and we look across every industry, we're really seeing dramatic shifts in the way customers want to interact with brands, whether it's through embracing new touch points, mobile, social, digital, et cetera, or even the way they interact, such as showrooming, or from the minute they hit buy, whether it's a digital transaction, to actually seeing that order visibility from the minute they hit buy to the minute the product's in their hands. So IBM Smarter Commerce is really an approach to help create more intelligent, smarter businesses that are better able to serve customers. And we obviously focus on all of the processes, such as the supply chain, improving customer engagement, personalization, and finally execution.
So the work that you do with companies then, it's an overall consulting thing, or is it primarily focused on the technology aspects?
We provide both help in both areas. So we can help companies redefine, what customer centricity is all about in today's marketplace. We can help do the competitive marketplace benchmarking. And then, of course, we also have the technology to support an end-to-end play.
Okay. You've been working in this field for quite some time, I gather. Can you tell me a little bit about what are some of the typical problems or challenges that you see among your clients when they get started with you?
So I'd say almost every company, regardless of region, is facing the same set of challenges. And that really comes down to providing unique value to the ever-changing and increasingly empowered customers in a marketplace where everyone has great product and low prices. So they're really trying to differentiate what their brand is all about.
And so how can a company do that if they're selling something that's a fairly standardized product?
You know, I think the first thing that's really important is truly understanding their customer. And, you know, there are a number of ways to do this. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to put on your customer's hat and customer's shoes and experience your brand. So what we actually recommend doing, we call these customer journeys, but map out the customer experience and don't just map out one experience. So if you're an apparel retailer, you know, look at the experience from a fashionista perspective, as well as someone who dresses for utility. If you're an electronics retailer, look at the audio video file as well as the neophyte. But look at these customer journeys and look at the key moments of truth or the specific decision points and map where you are and where your company adds value, as well as looking at the category leaders. Look at how Amazon does it or the giants who are showcased for their customer-centric processes. And then from there, you can start understanding the unique value that you as a company can add and how you want to either A, invest in technology, or B, even transform the way you engage the client. So that could be a store or a branch associate. That can be your pricing or merchandising strategy.
Mm-hmm. Now, if a smaller company, small or mid-sized company is looking at something that Amazon, for instance, does, they look at it and say, okay, these guys have tons and tons of money. How can we compete with that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, at the end of the day, I'll have to drive it back to the customer. Customers don't really care if you're big or small. They care about the value that you deliver. So while some of these smaller companies have, I would say, unique competitive advantages. And what I mean by that is they are in the local market. They have the agility where when a customer wants to look at a product, they can, you know, invite that customer into the showroom, et cetera. So I think it goes back to there are certain things, obviously, that take big technology investments. And if you're a smaller player, you need to focus on how you're going to create unique value. And the bigger areas where it may be slightly more difficult, just do what you can to eliminate the parity.
Let's talk technology a little bit. I mean, one of the things that I hear from a lot of the people that I've interviewed is that Canadian retailers simply aren't investing enough in technology. Do you see that? What are your comments on that?
I look at the Canadian market from a global perspective. I think the Canadian companies in general are very fast followers.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is I think the greatest innovations are coming out of maybe Europe. An example there might be the new Burberry store on 121 Regent.
And what makes that so special? What's unique about that?
You know, it really is a unique experience. Burberry was getting attacked at every level because anyone could copy, you know, their patterns or their jackets. So they decided to completely transform the experience around the brand itself, how you interact with the store, the technology, the entire consumption and life cycle of how you interact with Burberry. So they've basically introduced technology into the store. It's really the fusion of digital and physical to bring garments and bring the experience to life.
Interesting.
It really is. It's fascinating. And if you have a moment, I recommend everyone go out and YouTube Burberry Regent 121. But other things, if you look at, let's just say, Lowe's program around MyLowe's and their total closed-loop customer program, or some of these other specialty retailers around the world. But what I would recommend for these Canadian companies in general is there are a lot of technology investments we can make, and they really need to figure out what's relevant, again, to differentiate their brand and make that mark and prioritize these investments across the company and make sure that every group, when they make investments, they understand the dependencies and interrelationships across the company. So if you're going to invest in, let's just say, digital marketing or even customer information management, you need to look at how is that going to enable you to innovate in the Canadian market, and how does your investment apply not just, let's just say, to web, but web, store, enterprise marketing. And in that way, I know that's very fundamental advice, but we see companies make that mistake all over the world. They're still very siloed, and they want to do it all. So you have all of these little pockets of innovation, and at the end of the day, they seem to fall apart when the customer jumps from one interaction point to another.
Yes, absolutely. One of the challenges that a lot of companies find, especially if they don't have their own sizable in-house IT staff, is just in terms of assessing technology and choosing the right technology provider. providers. What advice or suggestions would you offer to companies that are considering investing in various types of e-commerce and customer relationship management technologies?
So I think it, you know, going back to the first recommendation is once you've mapped out your customer journey and prioritized and identified either A, where are your key gaps, or B, where are your key opportunities, you can then determine, you know, and this is very loose prioritization, but if every single player in your marketplace has buy online, pick up and return in store, or every single player, if you're in fashion, for example, and they have really robust mobile and tablet experiences because you're serving millennials or 15 to 25, you know, you can start at a very simplistic level of prioritize the those business investments against your broader strategy. And then it comes down in my mind to a very simple decision. I think there's a lot of great technology out there, but the most successful global deployments, and it doesn't matter what you're talking about, ERP, supply chain, e-commerce site, the common thread is that there was a deep partnership between the customer and the vendor. And
excellent point.
You're working with someone who's done this before. So I think it's great to innovate together, but at the same time, you don't want to pay to educate your partner and to get them to innovate their portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so looking for the vendor's experience is clearly a key thing then. And then just getting a sense of whether there's a good sort of feeling or fit between you and the vendor.
Absolutely. And again, even getting very tactical down into your specific category and the specific pattern or solution that you're looking to deploy.
Okay.
If you want to be the number one in mobile or tablets, or you want to be the number one in any specific area, you need to find the vendor that has done it in your category and deployed that specific solution. That becomes the foundation that you can then build off of. But if you're investing to achieve that foundation from maybe a different category or different industry, I think you're going to spend or waste a lot of your crucial investment dollars.
Excellent point, which also comes back to the point that I find comes up over and over again for companies that are selling anything is they need to identify their niche. And you're saying in choosing their suppliers, they need to find those who have a very specific niche that they're focused on.
Absolutely.
You commented that Canadian companies are sort of fast followers. What do you think are some of the things that perhaps are holding Canadian companies back?
You know, First of all, I would say it's a marketplace dynamic. There is, while the Canadian marketplace is obviously fairly competitive, we don't see the same level of saturation that we see in, let's just say, the UK, where it's just supply vastly exceeds demand.
Really?
But yeah, if you look at, you know, every category has many, many players. But if you take a step back and you look at just in general, the Canadian market has some other characteristics that are also common with the global market. With the emergence of all of these new touch points, whether it's mobile or social, where we are in our life cycle is we all had to have mobile sites. So what we did is we quickly outsourced the site or we launched an internal initiative. We all had to go social, so we pulled in and hired an intern. We see a lot of these initiatives across Canadian companies where they are multi-channel, but they're not cross-channel or omni-channel. And so I think the biggest challenge that a lot of Canadian retailers or even telecommunication and financial services companies have is that it's now time to unify all of these touch points, you know, move to a common customer engagement strategy. And the same with the organization, but there's a web group, there's a store or branch operations group, there's enterprise marketing, and it's time to start really unifying these groups. And you can do it very simply. You can just create steering committees.
They need to work in cross-departmental teams, essentially. Are there other things that they really need to be doing or thinking about to provide that cross-channel, omni-channel experience as opposed to either online or store?
from the top down, the CEO, the CMO, and other business leaders need to ensure that everyone consistently understands not just the customer they serve, but the unique value that the company delivers. How are you going to differentiate yourself? How are you going to, you know, respond to Amazon and or the other giants moving into your space or the more agile small competitor? Every company should have, you know, top-down customer-centric strategy. And, you know, just getting very tactical, you know, what we typically recommend is, you know, the types of things these steering committees talk about is you align planning, you align okay. strategy, and you ensure cognizant of the impact that you have on other groups. So you start looking at all these interrelationships, and now you can say, even though I've got five teams working on an information management strategy, one team is leading a data dictionary or identifying common customer attributes. Another one might be thinking about how they each are applied to each touch point, and so on and so forth. But you don't have to physically break your organization apart. You just create a model where everyone works together and understands their impact on the others.
Okay. From what you're talking about, those would be sort of larger companies. As companies are smaller, how can they handle these challenges?
It's a similar approach, but there's obviously a greater level of agility. Get the key decision makers in the room, do an offsite, yeah. Look at your customer, look at your threats, look at the unique value that you need to deliver, and then just figure out where your biggest gaps are. And then mm-hmm. appoint, you know, Dan, based on the specific initiative, who's going to be the executive sponsor that is going to be accountable in six and quarterly, provide not just quarterly statements, but really report up to the CEO. And interestingly, what we're actually seeing is these types of customer transformation initiative, whether it's selecting a commerce platform, selecting an enterprise marketing platform or supply chain, typically what we're seeing, even at the largest company, is that the sponsoring executive is the CEO.
Right.
So CEOs are very busy, but at the end of the day, they're responsible for bringing this all together. And, you know, that same model is true for small businesses.
Do you feel that it's realistic to think that Canada and Canadian companies can compete online at a global level?
That's a great question. you know, I think if you look at all of the specialty web-only retailers, whether it's someone like a Lululemon or a Moose Jaw Mountaineering, that they started with 9 stores and they very quickly grew up into the internet retailer top 200. If you're able to exhibit unique value, and that unique value doesn't always have to be in the price itself, but and the offering you provide and how you bundle and package that, I do think there is an opportunity to compete globally. And with third-party logistics providers, you can basically push your inventory out or have someone completely manage it for you to take on that final mile of cross-border execution.
Right.
That's also a key decision that you have to look at, is it is expensive to use these third-party services. So the question comes down to, is the Canadian market in your specific category completely saturated, or should your initial growth focus on, let's just say, Canada and the U.S., maybe getting into Mexico a little bit before you go fully global? If we just take a step back and look very broadly at the overall Canadian market and even global marketplace, I think it comes down to customer centricity 101. We all have to recognize that no matter how great we think our products are and how low we put our prices, we're always going to have someone with a Me Too product. And, you know, at the end of the day, it delighting the customer, and I know that's just an overused concept, but when we're happy, we share. We tell our friends, we write about it on Facebook, we write positive reviews, we come back. When we're unhappy, the multiplier is huge.
Yes.
You just need to focus on, you know, first and foremost, on making sure that your processes are truly customer-centric. If you don't have order visibility, if you don't have even the most simplistic things like, I just hit buy, you need to send out that automated email right away. there are many workarounds for a lot of these pieces, but I think at the end of the day, companies need to really focus on the experience and less on the product to truly compete in the Canadian market.
Well, I do find the whole discussion of how technology fits into the customer service experience very important. It kind of brought back to my memory an experience I had many years ago when I was working at La Banque Nationale du Canada, a Quebec-based bank that had decided to do a major expansion into Ontario. The theme we were using for the expansion was always ahead in personal service. Well, what I discovered is that even if the frontline staff are delivering superb customer service, it can be kind of challenging if you're not getting the support at the back end. I remember one particular example where I was getting calls of complaint from customers who said, "Why is your bank sending us brochures in French?" So I called head office and said, "You do realize these are Anglophones you're sending them to." And they said, "Well, you know, we'd run out of the English brochure, so we figured the French was better than nothing." I had to explain to them that it wasn't actually better than nothing and that they better print up some English ones. So it is very important, as Errol said, that you think through all the procedures that your company uses, because they do all ultimately affect the customer experience. I particularly liked his idea of mapping out the customer experience by persona, by type of customer, looking at every decision point and using that to figure out both where does your company add value, where's your most likely spot for competitive advantage, and also where is the best place to invest in technology so that you can deliver that customer experience. He also stressed the importance of ensuring that you have a close relationship with your vendor and that you choose a vendor who has experience with both the technology and your line of business, if it's at all possible to do so. I thought it was interesting as well, his comment that too many Canadian companies are multi-channel, but not omni-channel or cross-channel. And what that means is that you may have a store online and a physical store, but if customers aren't getting a similar type of experience in both places, as well as on your mobile platforms, they won't feel good. They won't feel that they're getting something consistent from you. And that can really hurt your brand and your image in the eyes of your customers. He also, I thought, had an interesting point in saying if you're contemplating expanding, first make sure you've tapped out the Canadian market, because that's probably the easiest thing for you to deal with. But then you can start expanding internationally into the United States and ultimately beyond. And he pointed out that there are logistics companies that can help you overcome the barriers of dealing with all the hassles of going international, the shipping through the borders and getting things into other countries. You probably will want to hire some kind of partners to help you with that process. But as many of the companies that we interview on this show have proven, it really can be worthwhile. Opening up the world to your services and products can make the world of difference. I'd really love to get your feedback on today's episode. You can always reach me by email, Tema, T-E-M as in marketing A, at frankreactions.com. You can always leave me a telephone message on our toll-free line, which is 1-866-544-9262. If you'd like to check out the other episodes or the blog, visit frankreactions.com, and you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you would be so kind as to put a review in iTunes, that would be absolutely awesome, because then other people can also discover this show more easily. You can also, of course, find me on Twitter at Tema Frank and all the other basic social media places. I look forward to chatting with you again in 2 weeks.